So last week we started this series that we are calling It's Good to Hear Your Voice. Because as Kay read at the beginning of our worship service this morning, Jesus said in John 10:27, that is so great. That is so great. That is fantastic. You're going to have to just follow along, and I'm going to tell you, because that PowerPoint is not in there, and that's not on you, that's on me. John 10:27 says, "My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me." So if we're going to be followers of Jesus, we have to learn to hear from God. And last week, in the sermon last week, I mentioned that literally for over half of my life, I really didn't expect to hear from God. I was taught that God spoke in the Bible and he doesn't really speak anymore. And so I relate especially to the story in Scripture that I want to begin with this morning. It's covered in several chapters, actually, in the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. There's a woman, her name is Hannah, and she had asked God to give her a son. And Samuel is born to her. And she dedicates Samuel to the Lord. She actually ends up taking Samuel as a child to the tabernacle so that he can live there, always in the presence of God. Now, the judge at that time was a man named Eli, and he's an old man. And he's laying down one evening in his room. Samuel is in another room. And Samuel hears his name. Samuel. So he gets up and he goes to Eli's room and he says, "Yes, you called me?" Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Well, a second time, Samuel hears his name and he goes again to Eli and he says, "You called me?" Eli says, "I did not call you, boy. Go back and lie down." The author says at that moment, for Samuel did not know that it was the voice of the Lord. So there's a third time, and he hears his name. And I'm sure he's a little timid. "Are you sure you didn't call me, Eli?" And Eli now recognizes what's happening. And he says, "It's the Lord, boy. Go back and lie down and listen." Now, several observations from this story are worth noting. One would be this: not expecting to hear from God does not keep God from speaking. Samuel wasn't expecting God to speak to him, but that didn't stop God from speaking to him. Second, it is possible to hear God's voice and not recognize that it's God's voice. In fact, I would say that happens all the time. And finally, it is worth noting that when you don't know how to hear God, it is very important to have someone mentor you who can help you recognize the voice of the Lord. I did not have that early in my life, and for almost half of my life, I tried to follow a God that I did not expect to hear from in a personal way. Now, know that I wholeheartedly believe that God spoke to the church through the pages of Scripture, but I did not believe that God might speak to me outside of the pages of my Bible. Now, one good thing did come from that misperception, because what it did was it developed in me a deep devotion to, a strong affection for the Word of God. Its devotion and my affection for it I hold to this very day. And I hope that comes through in all of my preaching. And everything that I'm going to teach in this series is grounded in what I believe I have already read in the pages of the Bible. But I was mistaken in my view that God was monolingual and he only spoke to his people one way. I have since come to realize that God speaks many languages. And when I share with you today what some of those languages are, you might conclude you have been hearing from God more than you actually realized. But before I get to some of those other languages, I do want to talk about the primary way that we hear God. And I want to be very, very clear about this, that I believe, and you can write this down, that the Bible is fully God's word. That the Bible is not man's word about God. It is God's word to man. The Bible is amazing. It was written over 1,500 years on three continents in three languages by 40 different authors, and its unity is stunning. There is no way it could have been a simple creation of the human mind. Now, I know when God inspires, that supernatural guidance still works through human personality. I'm not denying that, but I am saying that the Bible is God's word to us, not man's word about God. This is what the Bible actually claims of itself. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." That same verse in a different translation reads this way: "All scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful for teaching, for showing people what is wrong in their lives, for correcting faults, and for teaching how to live right." So let me be very clear. The first and the very best way to improve your hearing is to be devoted to scripture, to devour scripture. And by the way, that is what the living word did. Jesus was a big fan of the word of God. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I don't worship the Bible. I worship Jesus." Well, of course we worship Jesus. I would ask, though, that you have the same attitude about the Bible that Jesus had. Jesus did not just fulfill scripture. Jesus memorized scripture. Jesus resisted temptation with scripture. He rebuked his critics with scripture. He defeated his enemy by scripture. He announced his death and resurrection from scripture. And he taught his disciples to do the exact same thing. You read the very first sermons of the apostles in the book of Acts, and they are immersed in scripture, because that's how their rabbi taught them to teach. And so let me be very clear. Do not expect God to open his mouth if you keep his book shut. If your Bible is never open, neither are your ears. I have never met anyone with a high capacity for hearing God who did not read their Bible with low expectations. The Bible is fully God's word to us. But remember, God has a voice, not just a pen. So we could also say, and this is the second thing, write it down, the Bible is fully God's word, but not God's word in full. That God did not go mute when the New Testament was completed. We sing sometimes a song, "Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me." And we add the phrase in that song, "Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord." We actually undermine the Bible's authority when we discredit God's ability to speak now the way he does in the pages of the Bible. Did you hear what I just said? That when we will not let God speak to us today the way he spoke to the people in the Bible, we are undermining the authority of the Bible. Jesus didn't say his sheep read his words. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." They recognize that it is their shepherd and they follow him. In fact, Jesus acknowledged that you can know a lot about the Bible and not know the voice of God. He spoke to his critics in John 5, verses 38 and 39. He said, "You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." Jesus said it is possible to be an expert in knowledge about the Bible and be a dunce in hearing the voice of the Lord. The scriptures point to Jesus. God has given us his written word to lead us to the living word. And by the way, that's why it is very important to affirm that God's voice will never contradict what he has revealed in the scriptures. Because his scriptures are perfectly designed to do what they're intended to do, and that is to lead us to saving faith in Jesus. And so God is never going to say something that contradicts the primary instrument he gave us to lead us to Jesus. But it's also important to affirm that God's voice is not limited to the pages of Scripture. God is big enough to speak in a language that everyone can hear, even those who do not own a Bible or cannot read a Bible. And maybe you've heard of those languages, some of them, realizing that it was God who was talking. So what are some of the other ways that God speaks to us that we can see, right, by the way, from the pages of Scripture? Well, one is, and I don't even need that, one is creation. Number one, write it down, creation. God speaks through creation. Jesus often pointed to creation's ability to tell us something that God wanted us to know. In fact, some of the loudest words of his mouth are the words of his hands. The psalmist says in Psalm 19, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Every lily, every sparrow, every rainbow is a message from God." In fact, creation speaks so loudly that Scripture says God will hold men accountable if they're deaf to it. Romans chapter 1 verses 19 and 20 says, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." Let me just add, science is not an enemy of faith. That is why millions of scientists are actually theists, because they see the order. They see the design of creation. They know there had to be a designer behind this. In fact, Paul is saying, you have to have an agenda if you study creation and not believe that there is a creator. And by the way, as a side note, this is one reason why Christians should care for our planet. We don't worship our planet. We care for our planet. Why do we care for our planet? Because creation is one of the actual ways that God speaks to a deaf world. God speaks through creation. And every day, with our eyes open and our ears attuned, we can hear him. But God doesn't speak just through creation. God also speaks, number two, write it down, through gifted teachers. God has one voice, but he has many mouthpieces. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up." Now, let's acknowledge that not everyone that claims to speak for God is actually an instrument of God. Let's also acknowledge that everyone who does speak for God does so imperfectly. What other choice does God have but to use flawed vessels like Exhibit A? But he chooses to use vessels that are flawed, and few things bring me more joy than to have someone after a sermon or a lesson say to me, God got a hold of me today. I was listening to you and God just grabbed me. I know in that moment, I'm just a vessel for the voice of the Lord speaking to one of his children. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, and so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So let me encourage you to be grateful for gifted teachers in your life. Lift them up in prayer. And take full advantage of your ability to freely and even frequently receive from their ministry. We have so many people in today's age in this country in which we can live to be exposed to good Bible teaching. And you need to understand that is such a gift, because there are millions and millions of Christians all around the world who live in places where the governments restrict access to that. And they don't have the ability like you have so freely to listen to a good Bible teacher. So take advantage of that, because God speaks through creation. God speaks through gifted teachers. And number three, God speaks through the family of faith. I believe hearing God is a team sport. And the Holy Spirit is continually bringing unity to the community so that together we can all hear the voice of the Lord. You see that happening in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, when the church was facing this great question. Does a Gentile have to become a Jew before they become a Christian? And so they hold a summit. And you see the community come together to listen to the experiences of Paul and Peter. And they go to the words of Scripture and through a teacher like James. And after they had discerned together through prayer and study, then they write a letter to the Gentiles. And notice how they put it. Acts 15, verse 28, the first part of that verse says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. And it was through the family of faith that God was guiding and leading his church to truth. One good way to hear from the Father is to spend time listening to his children, because God speaks through the family of faith. But another way, this is number four, that God speaks is through circumstances and signs. We see this all through the Bible. God communicating through different events in our lives. He gives guidance by opening some doors and by closing other doors. I'll give you a personal illustration. When I was 10 years old, I felt a call from God to become a preacher. 10. I was in Lake Aurora Christian Assembly at the time. And I knew it was from God, and I knew it was his direction, and I fought that call for years out of fear. I remember being in eighth grade, my biology teacher at Union Park Middle School in Orlando, Florida, and he would always refer to me as Preacher Man because I lived out my faith in his class. And he would start teaching a lesson on evolution, and I would start asking a plethora of questions. He would say, this happened millions of years ago. And I'd raise my hand. Were you there? How do you know this? Well, we have dating methods. Are the dating methods infallible? There were times when he would start teaching and he would say, now listen, preacher man, today you're not going to talk. You're not going to ask questions. I'm going to get through this entire lesson without you interrupting. I knew even then that God was calling me to be a preacher. God speaks through circumstances and signs. And let me, while we're on this topic, bring up something that's difficult. But one of the chief ways that God uses circumstances is to speak to us through trials and suffering. God uses pain in our lives to get our attention. And the assumption that every negative circumstance we face is from Satan, that can keep us from actually hearing God. C.S. Lewis said the famous words that pain is God's megaphone. You can look back at some points in your life that were hard and they were painful. Maybe it was something with the family. Maybe it was a health situation. Maybe it was a financial crisis. And it was tough to go through. But you have to admit, God got your attention in the middle of that pain. And he communicated to you in a way that you had not been hearing from him before that moment. Listen again to what the psalmist says in Psalm 119, verses 71, 72. It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. David said, it was suffering that opened me up to better hearing the truth of your word, God. And many of us know that that's one way that God speaks, that the goal in life is not to have a pain-free life. The goal is to live a life in intimacy with God, hearing his voice, even in the midst of pain. I'm not saying, by the way, you should seek out pain. But I am saying that if you are in a hard season and you cannot get out of it, determine that you're going to get something out of it. And so you've prayed, God, what are you wanting to say to me right now? Because God speaks through our circumstances and signs. God speaks in many ways. You can find in the Bible that he spoke through a burning bush. He spoke through a talking donkey. But I want to close by one language I think every Christian must become fluent in, because it's one of the primary ways that God speaks. And I'm talking, of course, about the, and this is number five, indwelling spirit. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit that was given to us when we surrendered our lives to Christ. And if you are a Christian, God has spoken to you through impressions from the Spirit. But like Samuel, you might not have even recognized that it was the voice of God in your life. And maybe it's because the voice came from within you. You see, God has done this all throughout the Bible. A man named Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem, and he was really burdened by the fact that the walls around the city had been torn down. And he says in Nehemiah 2, verse 12, the latter part of the verse, I had not told anyone what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. Nehemiah did not hear from God with an outside voice. He actually heard it from an inner voice. God's Spirit was guiding him. And you know, right now, no matter what room you sit in, wherever you're at, the room that you're in is filled with sound. It's just, we don't have an instrument with us to kind of tune in to the sound that might be there. God has given every Christ follower the capacity to tune into him. When you surrendered to Christ, you received a supernatural hearing aid, the Holy Spirit. And you can expect the same Spirit that guided the transmission of God's truth on the pages of his word to guide you into all truth. This was the promise of Jesus in John 14, verses 16 through 17. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you." In the same chapter, verse 26, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And later in chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." Truth. Listen, church. Do you really think all those times when the words of God, the verses of Scripture, the example, the stories of Jesus, when they suddenly came into your remembrance, when you're speaking with somebody, that was just a coincidence? You see, we operate with wisdom that the secular world cannot even hear. And we must not allow the rationalism of that secular world to quench the voice of God. And we must not allow our lack of experience of recognizing his voice to keep us from getting better at listening to his voice. Because how can we truly ever know God apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us." Communication is simply the process of guiding someone's thoughts. It's what I'm trying to do right now. Every time that I get up and deliver a sermon, I'm trying to guide your thoughts, but I'm a finite creature and you are finite people. And so we must use finite means to be able to try to connect. I've got to use my voice and inflection in my voice and facial expressions and body language to try to guide your thoughts. But God is infinite and he can guide a thought directly. God doesn't have to go through our ears. God can speak directly to our minds and our hearts. And he does this for all Christians because all Christians have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. I look back now and I realize for years God was speaking to me through the Holy Spirit, but like Samuel, I did not know that it was God that was speaking to me. And so God gave me a profound life-changing moment that I want to share with you. And I've shared this story before, I think once. My oldest son, Jonathan, went through a period of rebellion. His rebellion was not marked by drinking or drugs. It was marked by anger directed at his mother and me. And he ran away several times during that period. And one of those nights when he left, after angry words were shared, it was a snowy, cold, dark night, and I remember standing on our deck, weeping and praying to God that he would be safe. After he graduated and he went to college, I would like to say it got better, but the divide actually only grew. And honestly, Shannon and I were both just shut out of his life like a garage door coming down. We were closed out. And I was in this situation that I didn't know how to fix. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know what to say. In that period, Shannon and I were able during one summer to go to this retreat for pastors and their wives, and it was a lovely place. In fact, we're going to go this summer as well. It's a place called the Shack. Doesn't sound great, does it? It's in a town called Jugville, Michigan, that literally you cannot get to with a GPS. The GPS will take you to the closest town, but it's kind of out in the rural area, even beyond that. This place is in the middle of nowhere, and it's in a pristine setting right on a lake. And on this resort property, they've got this little, it's a shed, but it's a one-room little shed, and it's got a window or two in it. And there's this really nice leather seat in there and a little table by the seat with a lamp and a Bible. And it's a prayer shed. And I went one morning very early before the sun had even come up. And I went and sat in that chair in that shed that's located right on the shore of the lake. And I remember sitting in that room a long time, weeping with God about the situation with my son. And after I had told God again for the 1,000th time my thoughts and my heart on the matter, I just sat there quietly. In fact, it got so quiet, I could hear my own heartbeat. And I don't know if you've ever gotten that quiet. And in that quiet, I heard a voice. And the voice said, "Why don't you let me handle this? Let him go. I will take care of this." It sounded audible. And I don't know if you had been standing in that room, if you would have heard it. But I knew in that moment that it was God. And I knew in that moment, God was calling me to repent. He wasn't condemning me, but God was challenging me because I had not let God fix the situation. I simply tried everything I knew how to fix the situation, and it still wasn't working. And I told God I wouldn't never do that again. Now, I'd like to tell you that that very day I got a call from my son and he reached out and said, "Hey, Dad, can we work this out?" That's not how it happened. In fact, it went on like it had been almost for another year. But it did get worked out. And it was very clearly God who worked it out. And now that relationship with my son, Jonathan, is very strong. And I love him very, very much. But I think God had to do something dramatic to get my attention. Because I did not know how to hear and recognize the voice of the Lord. And since then, I've been learning. Since then, I have become aware of all of the ways that God speaks to me regularly through His Spirit. I've learned better to recognize His voice. We're going to talk more next time because I know and I acknowledge right now that there has been a lot of damage done by people that claim that they have heard the voice of God. And that shouldn't surprise us because Satan always wants to counterfeit anything that is real in order to deceive. But listen, choosing deafness is the wrong way to respond to deception. I'll put it like this. I'm not going to let a nut keep me from the fruit. Are you paying attention to all the languages that God is trying to use to get your attention? Be open to the different ways that God wants to speak to you. So here's the question, and you can write this down. This is what I want to leave you with this week. Write this question down. What must I turn down so that I can tune in? What noise must I silence so I can better hear my God speak to me? When my grandchildren are over at my house, my wife has to remind me at times not to pick up my phone, not to turn on the TV. Now, sometimes, to be very confessional, we put on a cartoon because we are old and they wear us out, and we need a breather for a few minutes. But we don't want to miss anything that those dear children have to say to us. And I want you, as your pastor, I want you to hear God. You will be amazed at how often He just wants to tell you, I love you. And so here's my advice for you. And it's the same advice that Eli gave young Samuel. Go lay down and be quiet and still. And when God speaks, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I want to pray over you. Father, we do want to hear from you. It's good to hear your voice. And we need to hear it, God, because we do feel tired and frazzled. We're hurt, God. And often we can feel like no one cares. And we desperately need to hear you say, I love you, my child. So, God, please improve our hearing, because we know that is the way that we can follow Jesus better. And we pray this in His name. Amen.